Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on.
On 2FM.
Okay, we're going to move on to athletics now because Ian O'Riordan joins us on the phone. Ian, we're going to get into all the success over the weekend and the good news stories, but we're going to start with what's going on Russia. We know they've been banned from major international sporting events for 4 years after being found guilty of manipulating lab doping data. Give us a background on this, Ian.
Yeah, well, coincidentally, Russia were not running in the European cross country yesterday because athletics is one of the few sports who's actually stood up and said, "No, we're not standing for the whole Russia doping situation." The decision that was made today, and I know we spoke about this a few weeks ago, this was the WADA executive committee basically recommending that Russia be banned across all sports for the next 4 years. And this was unanimously agreed. Now they had no choice. I mean, this is essentially voting what they agreed for in advance. But as I said to you before, this is kind of like deja vu all over again. We were exactly the same position before the 2016 Olympics in Rio, and between the political maneuverings or whatever, lo and behold, Russia were back on board. But I'll give you another example. Actually, I was watching the European short course swimming championships over the weekend, and Russia topped the medal table there. I think it was 13 gold medals, 22 medals overall. So it'll have huge impact on the sport. Now, obviously, they're talking about Tokyo Olympics, the 2022 World Cup, but. As I say about history repeating itself, I think it's gone beyond the farce at this stage, but I definitely think it's the last we've heard of it. And if I was a betting man, which I am increasingly these days, I'd say we'll still see Russia in Tokyo next summer in some shape or form.
Well, we know they're going to be at the Euros, which is funny that they're still allowed to go there.
Yeah, that would seem to be somewhere lost in the small print, that for some reason UEFA doesn't qualify as an international federation or something. I still can't quite figure out why that is. But no, as of now, it doesn't impact on Russia, who, of course, are one of the host nations as well. But there's a long way to go yet. This is a recommendation which was agreed by WADA. But ultimately, what pulls the strings here are the International Olympic Committee and of course, FIFA when it comes to the World Cup. I mean, they ultimately can organise their own events. So it wouldn't be a slightest bit surprising if they fly in the face of what WADA recommends. And as I say, welcome Russia back. But look, it's a long way to go yet. But I think it's at least WADA seem to be showing a little bit more backbone. Although don't forget, they were the ones who invited Russia back in the first place before the evidence was conclusive that they'd actually cleaned up their house and whatever. So as I say, it's history repeating itself, and it's gone beyond the farce at this stage.
Ian, how do soccer players get pushed in with athletes, I suppose? They were hardly part of the Russian youth training as well, were they?
Well, it depends. I mean, if you go back to, I mean, there's nothing new here. I mean, even I spoke to you before about that documentary, the Icarus documentary, which really revealed just how widespread it was in Russia, and that's why I used the word systematic. And I think when they found the evidence, it was across maybe up to 30 sports. So I'm saying all along that sometimes athletics gets a hard rap, and some maybe cycling as well. But certainly the evidence suggests otherwise. That this was widespread across all sports. We saw it in the Winter Olympics. And that's why I mentioned the swimming. This has implications as well on boxing in terms of boxing qualification for Tokyo, in terms of how that'll trickle down to the Irish. But I think I think it'd be a little bit naive to say, well, it was just the old kind of reliable sports like the track and field or swimming or boxing. I actually think that's why WADA had no choice here, but to apply this outright ban across all sports.
Well, fair play to them. We've had enough of Russia. We'll move to the Irish in Lisbon, which is a much better news story, to tell you the truth. It was a great week for the Irish. 4 medals from the European Cross Country Championships, and I suppose Ephraim Giddy was the highlight.
Yeah, you know, I've been watching the European Cross Country since 1994. That was the first year, the inaugural year, when Katrina McKiernan won gold. So possibly not the most successful in terms of gold medals, but definitely the most successful Irish in terms of the depth and range of medals. 4 medals across the two races. We've never won more than two medals in the one event before. And you mentioned Ephraim Giddy there, who really sort of set the trend and set the pace by winning bronze medal in the under-20 race, the junior race, which, by the way, was a super competitive race. It was won by Jacob Inge Britsen from Norway. He's probably one of the best runners in the world. So this was not a soft medal by any means. But I'm sure some of the listeners might be a little bit familiar with the Ephraim Giddy story at this stage in terms of where he's come from and his background. And only 2 years since he arrived in Ireland as an asylum seeker, having spent, to the best of our knowledge, several months, if not longer, at the refugee camp in Calais. Came here with no English, very little literacy skills, and by pure fortune, I suppose, fell in with a kind of running crowd up in Clonliffe Harriers, and through that, I think it's really kind of the integration has been, and inclusion has been dare I say, fast tracked a little bit. But he only really got clearance to run for Ireland as late as Friday, because he has all his Irish papers and passport, and so the passport is forthcoming, but he has his residency, but he had to travel to Lisbon on what's known as a Schengen visa. So he only decided for sure he was going there on Friday, and then, as I say, lines up in this super competitive race and wins a bronze medal. And I think that really did set the trend for the weekend. And you mentioned four medals, and funny enough, it could easily have been seven. Because the junior men finished a very close fourth. That was only decided on count back. Fionnuala McCormack, we saw, ran a brilliant race in the senior women, just ran out of a bronze medal in the last half of a lap. But that's actually her fourth place finish in the European cross country, which must be something of a record in itself. She's also finished fourth in the track twice before. So that was another medal gone there. And I forget as well, Sarah Healy, who's probably one of our most promising juniors, would have been in Lisbon, and I think would have certainly been in the running for a medal, but she had to pull out because of a virus. So four medals, yeah, but as I say, it could just have easily been seven.
I know the team are set to land very, very shortly. We're just going to hear a quick clip from Ephraim Giddy.
I'm so happy. That's race for me. My first race, I'm doing good place. Very tough, because European is very big race. I'm doing it before little bit, just, you know, for Ireland, just one country. I'm not doing before for European. I'm so happy by that race.
And what can you tell me about the course?
Oh, that course very tough, because everything is hell. Very tough race. The beginning start is very fast race, you know. One lap is very fast. My body is very tired. But after two laps, my body is very strong. I have to go back. After three laps, so tired. Little bit tired and difficult. Very tough race that is. Very fast race. But that's good race for me.
And if you look at the course, do you like the grass like this, or you want more mud?
Oh, I don't know, like monkey. That's very tough. If you monkey, I don't know, like flat, I like. Flat just only, not hell. But that's good.
Ian, Ephron there, taking a bronze medal at 19. You know, the potential growth there, how good can this guy be?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I think the potential is almost unlimited at this stage. And as I say, when you consider where he's come from, just listening to his conversation there, I mean, his English is, I think we'll all agree, his English is not bad for a guy with no English 2 years ago. And by pure coincidence, my younger brother works in the English language company, Sverassi, which deal with a lot of asylum seekers and refugees and people who've come here from horrendous backgrounds. And he was his very first teacher. He was Ephraim's first teacher 2 years ago. And he remembers vividly him walking into the class and having no word of English, obviously, and, you know, very little, barely able to write his own name down. But from day one, was incredibly keen to learn and to study and to make the absolute best of his opportunity. And from there, he linked up, as I say, with Clonliffe. And then he went to the Cayley School up in Tyrrellstown in West Dublin. And I saw him win the Irish Schools Cross Country, was it last March? And I don't remember a more popular winner. He was coming down the straight and all his classmates were high-fiving him. And genuinely was a hugely popular winner. And it just, to say, a real example of how integration and inclusion can work in the sporting sense and in life. But as I say, only 19, and high quality race yesterday. He's run about 14:32 on the track, which is, as anyone will tell you, pretty good time for a 19-year-old. And I think we're going to see a lot more of him, hopefully, in an Irish vest. Now, again, no, without putting pressure on the guy, it's a big step up, obviously, to senior ranks. But he has all the qualities that you'd expect in a distance runner, and I think most of all, as I say, he's diligent. He paid credit to his coach, Joe Cooper, up in Clonliffe Harriers. And I think a big shout out to him as well, because Joe's one of these guys who's really taken him aside and worked him over the last year and a half to make sure that he doesn't get too carried away or doesn't do too much too soon. And as I mentioned, that race yesterday was a high quality race. So to come away with a bronze medal, it's only the second time in the history of these championships we've won a bronze medal at junior level. So it's certainly an outstanding achievement.
You mentioned Fionnuala McCormack there in her fourth place finish. I'm sure she'd be disappointed to miss out on the medal, but she keeps producing it year after year, doesn't she, Ian?
Yeah, it's gutted for her. You know, she's 35 now. That was her 16th appearance in the European cross country, and I, I've lost count at this stage. Obviously, she's won it twice. She's finished fourth, as I say, four times, and I think about three or four of the top tens. But look, I mean, she was a bit unlucky yesterday because, again, it was a stacked race. She had, Jasmine Khan, the former Kenyan woman now running for Turkey. She won the race again, and the Swedish girl who finished third, also former Ethiopia. And by the way, I think it's important to point out here, because I know I've spoken before about athletes changing nationality or switching nationality, and we did see a lot of African born athletes winning medals yesterday, including our own, as I say, Ephraim Gedi. There's a slightly different situation there, though, with some of these athletes have been using kind of passports of convenience, whereby they run for other countries without ever living there, without ever training there, without even speaking that language. But I think with Ephraim Gedi, it's the absolute opposite. You know, he wasn't switching a nationality; he was finding one. But anyway, to go back to Fionnuala McCormack, yes, who she lost out to Jasmine Khan, has won the last four editions of this race. And yeah, well, disappointed, but to use a cliche, silver lining in terms of the team medals winning silver, which is, again, a huge achievement, because they were very close to, it was between themselves and Portugal for silver and bronze. They edged out Portugal, who were obviously the host nation, and Great Britain winning. So yeah, team result, team silver medal to go with the silver medals won for the under-23 women certainly shows, again, a sort of a nice range and depth of certainly women's distance running.
Ian, the majority of that under-23's women's team are all in America, in university, and training there. I mean, Efran is in Ireland training here. What's the difference? Does there seem to be a difference?
Yeah, good question. I was actually writing about that today, because that's a kind of a throwback to the old days where certainly my generation, everyone kind of went to America. That was kind of the done thing. It was kind of the Irish scholarship trail to places like Villanova or Providence or Arkansas or whatever. But you're right, that must be something of a first for an Irish athletics, where the three women who finished won the team medal is Stephanie Cotter, and then there's the Flanagan sisters. They're actually twin sisters from Tyrone, Roisin, and the three of them all attend Adams State, which is way up in the Rocky Mountains. It's kind of in the I wouldn't say the middle of nowhere, but it's not the kind of place you'd normally associate with the Irish scholarship trail. But they're all out there, and they've all done really well for themselves. They actually won the Division II cross country championship, collegiate championship, by finishing first, second, and third. So I think that's another example where, look, there's no right or wrong way of training. I mean, for years, you look at Ciara McGeehan, you look at obviously Fionnuala McCormack. They've all come from the Irish based system, but this is kind of a reassurance that it is still possible to go to America and to succeed out there as well.
A super run by Stephanie Cotter, who you mentioned there as well, Ian.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, she's from this tiny little village in East Cork, which name actually escapes me. But her father, believe it or not, I'm really showing my age now, her father used to run as well. I remember him from the Leavale days, and I think went to college in America briefly also. But the way she ran yesterday as well, I mean, this is the other thing about both Stephanie and about Ephraim. They didn't kind of come through for bronze medals. They were actually in silver for a long time and kind of just maybe got passed for silver in the last few strides. But she was out to win that race, and you know, it wouldn't have been far beyond her ability to do that. And she's only, I think, a second year sophomore in college, so she's got two more years in college. I think she's got maybe one more year under 23. So definitely going to hear a lot more about Stephanie Cotter.
Game on
2FM. Weekdays from 6.